I'm going to preach here in just a second. 1 Timothy chapter 3, if you want to take your Bibles and be turning over to 1 Timothy. While you're turning, I wonder maybe if anybody just has a word of testimony on your heart. You want to testify for the Lord this morning, or has got something on your heart before we preach this morning. Anybody? Well, 1 Timothy chapter 3, and if you found your place, we'll stand if you're physically able to and would like to in reverence to the reading of the Word of God. And these last few services, I know we're our ministry here is kind of drawn to a close, and the Lord no doubt will put another man here behind us. But as we're kind of entering these times of transition, our ministry is closing out here. Tried to really just pray and leave you with some things, and maybe just remind you of some things that I think will be a blessing, be a help to the church in the days ahead. And I want to do that this morning, and probably will not tell you anything you don't already know, but this is what the Lord's got on my heart, and I pray to be a blessing, be a help to us. Out of 1 Timothy chapter 3, and we'll start reading in verse number 14. It says, "These things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, and pillar and ground of the truth. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory." I want to preach to you for a few minutes this morning with the Lord's help on this simple, I guess, simple title or simple message regarding doctrine for the church. Doctrine for the church. Let's pray. Father, I come before your throne of grace, and I thank you for letting us be in the house of God this morning. Lord, thank you for another Lord's Day. And Lord, I thank you for allowing us to gather ourselves together one more time this side of eternity. And Lord, I thank you for what's been done this morning already. Thank you for the good Sunday school hour, and Lord, the good singing, the praying that's been done. Thank you, Lord, for the giving that's been done. And Lord, we thank you for the good Bible conference you gave us, Lord, for meeting with us. And thank you for the preachers that were able to come and preach to us in these days. And Father, I pray that all these things, Lord, this message and all the messages we've heard, Lord, this past week would not, Lord, fall on deaf ears or on hard ground in our hearts. But Lord, I pray that you would help us to receive it with meekness and gladness and apply it to our hearts and our lives. And Lord, I pray that it would sink deep into our heart that we might not sin against thee. And Lord, I pray that you'd give that special touch this morning that makes preaching. I pray that you'd help us, Lord, to preach with power and with unction. I pray, Lord, it would be received. And Lord, you'd help us and grow us. Lord, I pray for that lost soul that might be among us this morning that today would be the day of salvation. And we'll thank you for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Well, as we read these verses, we're about midway through the book of 1 Timothy. And the Apostle Paul, of course, you know this is what's considered one of the pastoral epistles. You have 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and Titus, all written from the Apostle Paul by the hand of the Holy Spirit to other preachers. And they deal with a lot of things regarding just the pastoral ministry and guidance of the church and all those things. And one thing that you'll find here is he said in verse 14, "These things I write unto you, hoping to come unto thee shortly, but if I tarry long," because he's not there. The church is there, but he's not there. And so he's writing to give instruction and to give doctrine. That's really what doctrine is. Isn't that right? It's instruction. I know most churches have thrown out doctrine today, but doctrine is very important. And we have to know what we believe and why we believe it. And we have to really know what God thinks. That's really what it all comes down to, is doing what God wants us to do. And you know, you'll only be blessed if you're doing what God wants you to do. It doesn't matter how sincere you are or how clear your motive may be. There's a lot of people that are doing things very sincerely, but they're sincerely wrong. And God will never bless what they're doing if they're not doing it God's way and doing what God wants them to do. Amen? But this I do know. On the flip side of that is that if we are doing what God wants us to do, you really cannot fail in that. Isn't that right? I mean, you may not ever see the results that you want to see or that the world would consider a measure of success or anything like that. But listen, the world's idea of success, or even the eye of our own flesh's idea of success, really doesn't matter as long as we're doing what God wants us to do. If we can pillow our head at night knowing that I have done the will of God, I did what God wanted me to do, there will always be the sweet consolation of knowing that I have pleased the Lord. And I want to take that one step further and let you know that you'll never be in the will of God and be miserable either. Amen? By the way, that's what grace is. That's one of the main ministries of the work of grace, is that you will be happy serving God. It is a joy to serve the Lord. And I know, I think about that boy that got saved Wednesday night, you know, and him talking about, I'm ready, I'll stand in the street, tell everybody about Jesus, and I'll be a missionary, you know. And you know, that was, I think I mentioned it that night, that was a hang up for me before I got saved, you know, because I thought about how miserable it would be. And if I got saved, God's going to put me in some jungle as a missionary somewhere. But here's the thing. Listen, when you're saved and serving God and filled with the Holy Spirit, I don't care where God puts you, you're going to enjoy the trip. Amen. That's what grace is. Grace is the world in the eye of the flesh looking at what you're doing and looking at where you're at and saying, man, there's no way I could ever do that. I don't see how anybody could do that. I mean, I think about some of these missionaries that will uproot their family and go halfway around the world and go to some third world country and, I mean, live life so differently from the way it is in America. Or all these different ministries that God's called people to do and got people doing. And I think to myself, man, there's no way I could do that. There's no way I could ever enjoy that. But yet you look at them, I mean, they're just enjoying the trip. They're happy about what God's doing. There's a burden for what God's got them doing. And they're so blessed. And here's the thing. I could never be happy doing it because God ain't called me to do it. But if God calls you to do it, you'll enjoy the trip. That's what grace is. He'll give you the grace for it. Amen? And so I'm simply saying, we may not ever see the results that we may want to see or that the world thinks we ought to see, but if it's God's will and we're doing it God's way, it'll always be right. Amen? And so he's giving instruction and he's giving doctrine on how to do the will of God and the doctrine for the church and what to do whenever he's not there. Amen? And so in this doctrine for the church, or in these few verses, we see really there's a lot that is said about doctrine for the church. And I want to leave you with a few of these things and maybe kind of refresh you on some of these things, because really what we read here, he's writing to another preacher, but what we read here is really kind of in a few verses the doctrine for who and what and why of the church. This is who we are. This is what we are. This is what we ought to be. If we ever cease from being these things, we'll cease from being a church. And God will never bless it. Amen? You may see numbers and you may see, you know, different things, but God will never have His hand of blessing on what we're doing. So doctrine for the church. And that's what we see in these last few verses of this chapter. They're speaking of doctrine. And they're making reference to what Paul's just written. And we're not going to get into all the details of what he's been writing about. You need to go back and read the book yourself. But he's referencing all the things he's already talked about. But we see the general doctrine for the church here. And the first thing I want you to notice in verse number 14 is we see the communication for this doctrine. He says, "These things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly." So he's writing them unto the church, writing them to Timothy. Timothy, he's writing specifically to the man, but the man is there in Ephesus. We can tell Timothy is pastoring in the church of Ephesus right now. Paul's writing to that church, and he's instructing him and instructing the church by letter. By the way, that's where we get church doctrine from, is from the letters of Paul. Isn't that right? That's where we get our doctrine. Of course, you can get a lot of things all through the Word of God, but it all's got to line up with Paul's doctrine to the church. Isn't that right? And so the communication comes by letter. He's being instructed that way. You know, Paul couldn't wait to instruct Timothy until he saw him in person. He said, you know, I hope to come to you soon, but I don't know if I'm going to be able to or not. I want to be able to, but if I don't, I'm writing you this so you'll know what to do. Amen? He didn't know when he was going to see Timothy again. He didn't know when he'd make it back to that church again. You know, God did it the same way for us. As a matter of fact, that's why we have this letter anyways. Because this letter was to Timothy and it was to that church, but it's certainly still for us. That's why God preserved it for us. That's why we've got it today. That's why God's put it in your lap this morning, so that you have instruction, so that you have direction, so that you know how you ought to behave in the house of God, so that you know how you ought to behave in your Christian life, so you know what God expects for you and what will please God, so that you can be blessed, how you can serve the Lord. Amen? And so He's done it that way so that we would have instruction and doctrine now. He still communicates His doctrine to us the same way He did to Timothy. Amen? He uses this Bible. Now, I know that's a simple truth, and now you're thinking, Brother Jacob, we already know that. But listen, don't ever lose sight of the fact that this Bible is how God will talk to you. And this Bible is how God will talk through the man to you. This Bible is what we major on. This Bible is the authority of all of our practice and everything that we do. This Bible is where it's at. Listen, this Bible is where you're going to get instruction for your own life. It's where you'll get instruction for your family. It's getting where you'll get instruction for your children, for your finances. Amen. It's where you'll get instruction from the church. This Bible is where it is. Amen. That's why when we have a Bible conference, we major on Bible. Amen. And we have in singers and we have specials and we worship with congregational singing, but at the end of the day, we major on Bible. We major on the preached Word of God because this is God's chosen way. He manifests Himself through preaching. Amen. And so God has chosen this Word. Listen, if you want instruction for your life and if you want to walk with God, you need to get full of this Bible. You ever see somebody, you think there's certain men or certain people that always come to our mind, and they come to our mind as very spiritual people. Like probably all of us. If I say that and you're maybe thinking of one or two people right now that you think, man, that's a really spiritual person. Without fail, if someone really is a spiritual person, they will be full of this Bible. Amen. One of the marks of these last days is how mystical and mysterious and weird people are making all the things of religion, even in Baptist churches, about feeling something and God telling me something and God doing all this weird stuff. Let me tell you something. Real spirituality and really walking with God is going to be found through the simple reality of reading this Bible, doing what it says, believing God, taking the Word of God at face value, and just loving the Word of God. Amen? And so the communication of this doctrine was through a letter, and it's a letter we still have. It's through a Bible that we still... I mean, we say this is a letter to Timothy, but it was Bible. Isn't that right? It was just as much Bible then as it is now. It was just as much inspired by the Holy Spirit when He wrote it and Timothy got it as it is now this morning. Amen? And so the instruction comes through the Bible. The communication for this doctrine. If God's going to communicate with you, He's going to do it through the Word of God. Amen? I mean, thank the Lord He can speak and He can impress us and He can help us with a good song and He can use other things. But listen, God is going to talk to you through this Word. Amen? And so the communication of the doctrine. But then, I want you to notice in verse number 15, the conduct in this doctrine. He says, "But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth." Now, this writing to this church, just like to us today, this letter was to enable this preacher to know immediately how to conduct matters there in the church at Ephesus. Right? And God's man, God wrote through Paul, and when He wrote through Paul, He did so to give instructions concerning church offices, concerning their qualifications, to guide Timothy in his conduct in leading the church. He's writing to a preacher and that church. And He deals with everything from qualifications of preachers. He deals with qualifications of deacons. He deals with modesty. He deals with, He deals with all kinds of stuff. I mean, you just read the letters. He deals with all kinds. And that is why He is writing, so that they would know how God expects them to live, how God expects them to conduct themselves. Amen? That's both in and outside the church house. Amen? And do you know that God, even in 2024, is still interested in our conduct? Inside the church building, outside the church building, God is interested in our conduct. I heard a preacher just say the other day, and I think it's so true, there's a lot of places you go where, they have a platform standard, right? And thank God for it, amen? I think it's sad that we've come to a day where you got to have a platform standard, but you got to start somewhere, isn't that right? But do you know the reality is that by having a platform standard, a standard of modesty where it's, neck to the bottom of the knee. You have certain things in line or else you can't be on the platform. Really, that's a step backwards. We're going the wrong direction when we get to the place where we have to have a platform standard. Do you know that the platform standard is God's standard for all of us, all the time, anywhere, day or night? It's God's standard. Amen? And it's a sad day in America whenever churches and preachers were put in the position where they felt like they had to put a standard for the church and a standard for the platform. In other words, people won't live godly enough to do it on their own, so you have to make sure they at least do it right when they're in the house of God. Amen? Because God's standard and God's idea of conduct, that's for us all the time. All the time. You shouldn't have to change anything about yourself when you come to church. Otherwise, you're out of the will of God, and God's not going to bless you, and you need to be in the altar repenting this morning. This morning. If you have to change anything about yourself to come to church, I'm not talking about wearing your Sunday best. You know that's not what I'm talking about. Amen? I'm not talking about giving your best to God. And by the way, I still believe in that too, don't you? Amen. I still believe in giving God our best. Listen, we're not making church casual, and don't ever do that when I'm gone either. Amen. Listen, keep the standard high. We don't want to bring God to our level. We want to try to reach up to His level and glorify holy God. He said, "Be ye holy as I am holy." Amen. And we want to reach His standard. We want to be what God wants us to be. And we don't want to bring Him down and bring the things of God down and make them common like everything else. Amen. We want the sinners to come like they are, but if they get saved, we don't want them to leave like they are. Amen. We don't want to make church and things of God like everything else in this wicked generation. Amen. We want these things to be holy. Hallelujah. Amen. And our conduct should be that way all the time. Amen. Because he's talking about the house of God, how you ought to behave thyself in the house of God. And when he's talking about that, he is talking about a place. And this is a place. Amen. I mean, this is the place that we have set aside and sanctified. We've set it apart. Listen, the house of God is just like the man of God. He's set apart. The house of God is set apart for a special place where we come to meet with God. But you know, the reality is, the same Paul that wrote this wrote to the church at Corinth about how you are the temple of God. You are the temple. You are the house of God. You are where God dwells if you're saved. Amen? And so what we do here ought to be no different out there, because we are the house of God. You're the only Bible somebody will ever read. Amen. Listen, your family, if you claim to be saved and claim to be a part of this church and claim to love the old time way, listen, your family is the only family that most of this world will ever have. It is an example of how to have a godly home. And you're giving that example, either a good one or a bad one, but you're always giving one. Right? I mean, your prayer life, I mean, I think about our children. Listen, my prayer life, as far as they're concerned, I'm the only prayer life they have to go by. How much or how little I pray, they see me praying as a daddy, and it's not all about them seeing me, you understand that? Listen, the reality is, how much or how little I do, as far as they're concerned, that's what everybody does. Everybody prays as much or as little as my daddy does. That's all they know, right? You know, the world is the same way. What they see in us is all they see in terms of the things of God. Amen. And we're either showing them something that's truly godly and what God wants us to be, or we're showing them a watered down, Laodicean version of what God is, talks about in His Word in this day and this hour. And I'm telling you, we can be like every other Laodicean church. You can be like every other Laodicean Christian. I can be like every other Laodicean preacher out here this day. Or we can make up our mind that we will go farther with God and we'll do what God wants us to be and be what God wants us to do in this day and this hour in which we are living. Amen. Amen. I'm like Brother Joe Bryant. Listen, when the Lord comes, hey, I want to go out with my hand to the plow and my eyes on the goal. Amen. No looking back. No looking back. Amen. I want to keep moving forward for God, because He's given us every bit of power to do so in these last days, as He always has. Amen. But our conduct has got to be what God wants it to be. God has not changed His mind about this. Amen? In 2024, God's not changed it. Most churches have changed their mind. And most preachers have changed their mind. And even most perverted Bibles have changed their mind. Amen? I mean, listen, if you want a Bible that'll tell you sodomy is all right, go get you a Queen James Bible. They're out there. A Queen James Bible. It's a sodomite Bible. Amen. And it's a real thing. I'm not joking. It's a real thing. I'm saying there's something out there, listen, to help you feel comfortable with everything wrong with you in God's eyes. But God hasn't moved. God hasn't changed. And if we'll be what God wants us to be, we've got to line up with what He says. I know I preach this stuff all the time. For almost 6 years I've preached this stuff. And somebody out there is thinking, man, I can't wait for him to get North Carolina. But listen, whenever I'm gone and whenever everybody else is gone, this word's still going to stand. Amen. As the ages roll on, when the stars are falling to the earth and the moon is dripping blood, this Bible will still stand, and God's conduct for His people will still stand. God's Word will stand. It's what we'll be judged by. And listen, you may be ready for me to get to North Carolina, and that's fine, but I want you to know I love you enough to preach this stuff, because one of these days you'll stand before a holy God and you'll give an account for it. You'll be glad a preacher told you then. Amen. And so the conduct for this doctrine, God is still interested in those things. If you want God to bless you and bless this church, but listen, the ministry doesn't die when the preacher moves on. Amen. The preacher was never the ministry anyways. Amen. Listen, the church, I know, I believe, somebody talked about Lee Robertson used to always say everything rises and falls, and I believe that to a degree. I mean, I believe that in a lot of ways, you know, but at the end of the day, the pastor's not the church. I'm not the success of this ministry. It's not up to me. I'm thank God for it. There's no way I could ever do it. Amen. Amen. That's it. I mean, that's all it is. Listen, the ministry is the church. And when I say the church, I don't mean the building. I mean the body of Christ. It's you. And I tell you, we've got to be what God wants us to be. And so the ministry won't die when the preacher leaves. Listen, if you want a man, God will give you a man. Listen, if you want the power of God, God will give you the power of God. If you'll be what God wants you to be. Amen. Amen. And so the conduct in the doctrine. But then, and by the way, let me just mention this. Just realize, I mean, he's talking about the doctrine for the church, and he could have wrote anything. He could have wrote anything. I mean, think about how many times the Word of God, just read your Bible and think about how many times God commands us to live. And God could have said anything. He could have wrote anything, but it lets us know how interested God is in how we live. That's the key, that's the principal thing. Conduct in the doctrine. But then, I want you to notice once again in verse number 15, the church in the doctrine. He said, if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. There are two very important things that are said here about the church. First of all, he said, it is the house of God. I alluded to some of this just a minute ago, but the house of God, the church, is where God dwells with men. Now, again, I believe he's talking about a place, and I believe, you know, in a lot of ways we have a place, a sanctified, set-apart place. But, you know, in regards to the church, the body of Christ, you and I, those of us that are saved, it really is through us that God dwells with men. You know, sinners don't have to come here to hear from God. That's why they've got you in their life. And you're either succeeding or you are failing at God being able to talk to them through you. We're all either succeeding or we are failing, and we'll give an account to God about this too. God will hold us accountable for the field in which He has placed us, whether or not He was able to talk to men and convict men and instruct them. All those ministries of the Holy Spirit, listen, all that's done through us. Because we have the Holy Spirit indwelling us. Isn't that right? And so it's sinners don't have to come here to be saved. Listen, thank God for every sinner that does come to the house of God. And thank God for every sinner that comes, that hears the preaching. Thank God for every lost person that's ever gotten saved in church. Probably a lot of us here got saved in church. Amen? Or at least got saved as a result of coming to church. Amen? But listen, they don't have to come here just to hear from God. And they don't have to come here just to hear preaching. Amen. They hear it through their people. You remember the Ethiopian eunuch? My name's out in the wilderness. And he joined himself to that chariot because God told him to. And it said he preached unto him Jesus. He didn't have a pulpit on that chariot. And I don't believe he gave him a 3-point outline and a poem either. And they didn't sing 25 verses of Just As I Am. No, he preached unto him Jesus. He went right to the text where he was. He saw where he was reading. And he said, do you understand what you're reading? He said, how can I except some man got it? Really, in today's terms, what they had was a Bible study. He said, you're reading it. You understand that? Oh, I don't understand it. How can I accept somebody guide me? Well, let me guide you. Amen. And he took that scripture and he led him right to Jesus and he believed. Next thing you know, because he believed, he's wanting to be baptized. It always works out that way. Ain't that right? Somebody believes and they want to be baptized. Amen. And so he baptized him. But he said before he baptized him, he said, what doth hinder me to be baptized? He said, if you believe with all your heart. Amen. That's what it takes to be really baptized. To believe with all your heart. Isn't that right? By the way, the NIV leaves that verse out. Most modern verses leave that verse out. Amen? But it takes believing with all your heart to be baptized. But he didn't have a pulpit and there wasn't a choir and there wasn't all those things. Oh no, he just went where God wanted him to go. There was a divine meeting scheduled that God had on his prophetic timeline where he was to meet up with that man. And listen, that is all of us. Amen. You ought to pray for God to divinely bring people into your path that you can witness to, that you can lead to Jesus, that you can show them the Savior. Amen. You ought to pray for that and seek that and God will bring it into your life. Amen. And so it's the house of God. It's where God dwells with men. You know, he said in Matthew 18, verse 24, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. Amen. See, it's the saints, not the sanctuary, which makes it a house of God. And he's instructing them on the house of God, the church in the doctrine. The church is us. This building is just simply a building we've set aside to worship in. Amen. Back in the Old Testament, they were going from house to house. That is, the church's houses. Amen? But listen, thank God for the building. Thank God for all He's given to us here. But listen, there'll still be a church long after the building's gone. Amen? The church doesn't die because the building gets hit by a tornado. Amen? The church doesn't die because the building burns down. Amen? The church is us. And what you need to do is to take ownership of the church. Realize that I am the church. If anybody will get saved, it's going to be a result of my ministry, what I'm doing. Amen. Or if anyone gets led astray, it'll be a result of me. It's all on our shoulders. Amen. And so it's the house of God. But then he said it is the herald of the truth, the pillar and ground of the truth. And that statement there, that's figurative language, but it emphasizes forcefully that the church is to be the great upholder of the truth. You notice today everybody's going around, everybody's trying to find, you know, what media outlet they can get real, you know, news from. You know, you got liberal media, you got conservative media, they're both wrong, so everybody's trying to find somebody else. And really what it boils down to is they treat news and media the same way they do the Bible. They find the one that tells them what they want to hear, and as far as they're concerned, that's gospel truth, right? Isn't that right? I mean, listen, if you're a rank liberal, as far as you're concerned, CNN's telling you the truth. MSNBC's telling you the truth. I mean, if you're on the other side of it, well, as far as you're concerned, Fox News is telling you the truth, you know? And so people treat the Bible the same way. They find the one that tells them what they want, and that, as far as they're concerned, that's the right one, right? Because it's what I want, because that's what I believe already anyways. And of course, I'm right, you know. No one's more right than me. Amen? And so, you know, but that's kind of the way it is. Now, society, everybody's talking about, you know, finding the truth and fake news is just a common term now. Listen, I was using fake news before it was cool, man. Amen. I mean, you know, and that's a common thing, though, because everybody's concerned, or at least supposedly is concerned about where they can get truth. Believing that and what they're being told is a lie all this time. But, you know, the church really, according to this Bible, is the pillar and ground of the truth. If anybody ought to be able to go somewhere and find real, pure, unadulterated truth, it ought to be the church. And it ought to be able to go to God's people. Amen. You know, I've experienced this in my life, and you may or may not have too. If you live for God long enough and you're in this Word and you stand for God, live right and live clean long enough, you probably experience it too. But listen, I've experienced more than one time working a job, you know, being out, you know, in the community, being out in public and around lost people, working around lost. Listen, by the way, don't ever begrudge rubbing shoulders with lost people all the time. That's a blessing. That's where we're supposed to be. That's where Jesus was all the time, rubbing shoulders with lost people. Amen. As a matter of fact, that was the worst indictment the religious crowd could come up with. This man receiveth sinners. Praise God for it. Amen. Don't begrudge that. Because whenever you're working with sinners and rubbing shoulders with sinners all the time, listen, if you're living for God, they're noticing that. And sometimes they'll question you on it. Sometimes they'll say things, and they'll mock you, and they'll make you feel inferior, and they'll try to challenge you, and all. I mean, all those things. If you've ever done it, you know what I'm talking about. And the religious crowd's the worst. It's always the ones that are you know involved in church and religion. They're always the worst, right? But this is what I have found in my time where I've, you know, just tried to stand for God and live right and do right. You'll have people that will mock you and question you and challenge you. But if they ever really hit a hard place, and if they ever really want to know the real truth about something, I mean, if they ever really get backed into a corner and they want to really know the real truth, they'll find them an old-time Christian that carries a King James Bible and stands for right and lives right and dresses right. Oh yeah, they'll talk about, you know, this preacher and that preacher. And they'll challenge, you know, biblical views on things. And, you know, they'll bring up all this, you know, the whole liberty conversation. And we're under grace now. And that's all, living that way, that's all Old Testament. And I mean, they'll challenge all that stuff until they get their hard place. Until they get into a circumstance or a situation that they don't know the way out of. Then they'll find an old-time Christian that they've seen live right for many years. And they may have even mocked that person, but they'll come to that person. They'll say, hey, what do I do in this situation? They're not going to go hunt down that liberal preacher that they've loved so much and just talked so highly of, you know. They're not going to go hunt down that youth leader in skinny jeans with a V-neck and a perm wearing a necklace. Amen. They're not going to go hunt down that preacher, you know, covered in tattoos and got his ears pierced and trying to fit in with the young. Listen, they're not going to hunt down that liberal crowd. You let them get into a deep enough spot, and I'll tell you where they'll go. They'll go to an old-time Christian that they know walks with God, because at the end of the day, they know what is really right down in their heart. They know what's really right. But see, that's what the church is supposed to be. The church is supposed to be the pillar and ground of the truth. You remember over in Jeremiah chapter 1 where God calls Jeremiah. And of course, God told Jeremiah at the very beginning of his ministry, before he ever got there, he said, listen, they're not going to accept your message. They're not going to accept your message. They're not going to accept your ministry. You're going to go and preach anyways. But I'm telling you right now, you're not going to see any success, any fruit of your ministry. And he called Jeremiah multiple different things. You know, he called him a defense to city and brazen walls against the nation, all those things. But then he called him one thing. He called him an iron pillar. An iron pillar. And I heard a message, one of the greatest messages I've ever heard one time. A man preached on God's iron man. Because listen, that is what the church is. That's what the man of God is. That's what every sold out Christian is just an iron pillar, something that will not move. Yes, and you can beat against it, and the world can wail against it, but at the end of the day, it just will not move. And that ought to be us and be our ministry. That ought to be the ministry of the church. Listen, we're not changing with the times. We're not trying to keep up with the times. We're trying to stay where God wants us to stay. And if you'll stay where God wants you to stay, be the pillar and ground of the truth. Most people don't want the truth now. They say they do, but they don't really want the truth. But when they get to the place where they do want it, there needs to be a place where they can come find it. The pillar and ground of the truth. But then last of all, let me give you this. Not just the communication of the doctrine, the conduct of the doctrine, the church in the doctrine, but then last of all, and the most important of all of them, is the Christ in the doctrine. He says in verse 16, "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory." There's six distinct truths about Jesus Christ that are given here by Paul under the heading, Great is the Mystery of Godliness. That's the heading that he gives. It's a heading that emphasizes the greatness of these truths. And he gives us six distinct ones. The first one is the incarnation. He says God was manifest in the flesh. And then vindication. He says he was justified in the Spirit. That is, vindicated or approved. Heaven approved the work of Christ. Isn't that right? And then there's observation. He says he was seen of angels. Angels were at the birth of Christ. Angels were present during the temptation. Angels were present at the resurrection. They were present at the ascension. They were very interested in the ministry of Christ. You know, would that men would be as interested in Christ as the angels were? And would that the church would be as interested in Christ as the angels were? And then there's proclamation here. He says, preached unto the Gentiles. And then acceptation. He says, believed on in the world. Not by all the world, but by some of the world. Amen? See, blessing to those who have believed. Curse to those who have not believed. And then glorification. He says, received up into glory. Rejected by the world, but a great reception in heaven. All those things speak of Christ. They're all distinct truths regarding Christ. And we've got all these other things, and they're all just as important. But at the end of the day, what it boils down to is that we're doing it all for Christ. Every doctrine, every command, every do, every don't, everything that God has ever given the church and saved people, the motivation for it all is about Christ. It all gets back to Christ. See, the thing is, when you think about conduct and you think about, you know, I mean, all those things that we've just talked about this morning, when you think about all those things, at the end of the day, none of them mean anything if you're not doing it for Christ. If He isn't the motive for it all. And you know that most all those other things will fall right into place and be exactly where they're supposed to be and what they're supposed to be in our life. If He is the motive for it all. If we're interested in pleasing Him, all those other things will be what they want to be. See, anytime we get wrong and we're not what we're supposed to be, we're not doing what we're supposed to be, there's a problem not so much with our actions, there's a problem with our affections. Our affections are not on things above, our affections are on things here of this earth. And so really, if there's anything, any one thing that would ever make us a church successful and make a church, a ministry, what God wants it to be, it would be that it is all about Christ. It's all about Him. If there's any one thing that would make a Christian successful in God's eyes, it would be that your heart, your affections are set on Christ. Because then nothing else is too hard. Nothing else is too big. It's not hard to do right. It's not hard to do what you're supposed to do when you love Jesus more than anything else. Man, giving up something, you know, making some huge sacrifice, well, it feels that way. It feels like giving up. It feels like a big sacrifice whenever I don't really love Him. And so, the Christ is the most important thing in the doctrine. You know, God will really use you and God will really use this ministry if we'll do and be what He wants us to be. If we'll have the right doctrine. Doctrine's a whole lot more important than this world and modern religion is making it out to be. Doctrine for the church. Let's pray. Father, thank You for Your Word, for helping us with it this morning. I pray that You'll take it and use it. Lord, I pray that You'd help us all, Lord, have our affections set on Christ, Lord, on Him. Lord, if there's anything in our heart, anything in our life, Lord, that stands between us and the Lord, Lord, I pray that You'd help us to do business with You this morning. I pray that we'd lay it on an old-fashioned altar. And, Lord, we would choose to love You more than we love anything in our life, anything that You might be doing with us about this morning, Lord, that You might greatly bless and use and work in our hearts and our lives. Lord, bless now on the altar call. We'll thank You for what You do in Jesus' name. Amen.